The next time you handcuff a man, Doctor, be sure you take the key out of his pocket first.
Coming to you from the Cinema Lounge of the Carolina Asheville, it's Elitist Bastards, Here Are the Movies, featuring Ken Henke.
Hello.
And Justin Souther.
Hi.
I'm Steve Shanafilt, your producer. You guys saw some movies this week.
Yeah.
No, I saw some movies. Justin had the other experience.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's get right into it. You saw a movie. How'd you know? How'd you know that was what I was going to go for?
I'm surprised you're not saving that for the end. We might get him really worked up about it. It's hard to tell. He might be
probably not worked up
about it.
Yeah, I've kind of forgotten about it.
You saw this film and you gave it half a star out of a possible five.
Because he said he watched the last Adam Sandler movie.
Which is true.
What he fails to mention is that he did not watch Bucky Larson, which was Adam Sandler produced.
It's not an actual Adam Sandler movie.
You could... Like, it's interchangeable. Like, you can switch the two. It's the same damn
it's
movie.
Debatable.
Okay, so the premise of this film is that Adam Sandler plays an uptight dude, and he has an obnoxious sister who's
it's
his
one
twin.
Of these Adam Sandler roles where he's super rich.
You mean like in real life?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he has an annoying twin sister, which apparently isn't even possible to have
an identical
twin of opposite sexes.
Yeah, that's not possible at all. That'd be fraternal.
So this movie.
You're saying this movie is not realistic?
Inaccurate.
Good heavens.
His annoying sister, also played by Adam Sandler in drag, comes. There's lots of fart jokes and fat jokes and random... Lots of Mexican jokes.
Is there a good reason for the Mexican jokes?
Well, you see, Adam Sandler has a Mexican gardener.
Don't we all?
Who is some... I guess he's some Mexican comedic star, which... Once you see him, it's pretty much like, oh, this guy's doing a stand-up routine. Oh, I see why he's in. If you look at his IMDb credits, he's in Untitled Rob Schneider Project.
Wait a minute.
He has found yet another hanger-on.
You said Untitled Rob Schneider Project?
It's a TV show.
Oh, thank God. I thought that maybe there had been a tiff in between Adam and Rob.
Is apparently in this, but I don't remember seeing him. I might have blacked out. Portions of the film.
Well, that's possibly true.
Yeah, there's also a subplot involving the Adam Sandler in drag and Al Pacino,
yes,
correct?
Which probably the only thing keeping this from being the worst film of the year is Al Pacino, who actually is kind of amusing on occasion. It's more depressing that he's amusing in this.
He can't be any more amusing than 88 Minutes.
No, of course not.
But that would be impossible.
I mean, there's a few good Pacino jokes since he's playing himself. I mean, that seems to be the only time that they have actually, like, crafted a joke is when they're making jokes about Pacino, which is...
Perhaps he wrote his own material.
Possibly.
So you don't recommend the film?
Absolutely not. Stupid? What is this? No, I recommend Ken see it.
And you didn't see it, but you
Ken's
did
not
see.
Not that dumb.
But you did see a film that you were expecting not to like, based on the director. And I'm talking about
Jedgar.
Yeah, Jedgar. J. Edgar, directed by Clint Eastwood. You're not a fan of Clint Eastwood.
I am not a fan of Clint Eastwood. I do not understand what all the fuss is about. I find him generally a very indifferent filmmaker. The film itself is surprisingly compelling, and it surprisingly manages to pack 137 minutes with this, like, from 1919 to 1973 time period successfully and entertainingly. But when you get right down to it, the film is a really sad love story and a really sad or tragic or pathetic, maybe, film about a guy who invented a myth about himself and spent his life living that myth. But... You know, I mean, a lot of people have launched into the film. I mean, some of them I have, frankly, suspect homophobia because they say things like Hoover's alleged homosexuality, which has never been proven. Well, you read these stories, read just the bare facts. He never married. He went to lunch and dinner every day of his life with this man. They went on vacations with each other. They were constantly together. They shared hotel rooms. And when Hoover died, he left him his estate. Please. I don't see this working any other way. And then there are the other people, the other end of it are people who wanted it to be more sensationalistic. They really wanted the cross-dressing. And there is a scene where he puts on his mother's dress. But I don't really think it's supposed to refer to cross-dressing. I think it's supposed to refer to the fact that she's just died, and when he breaks the string of beads that he has of hers on, I think it is supposed to be him trying to break away from this domineering woman, who is probably the reason that he's in the closet anyway, because she's told him early on in the film, when I think she has some suspicions about this friend of his who shot himself that they called Daffy, and she says, you know why they called him Daffy? And it was short for daffodil, and she says, I'd rather have a dead son than a live daffodil. This is not the sort of thing to exactly convince you to embrace your gayness.
And Hoover's mother in the film is played by?
Judi Dench.
Do you think that this is one of her better roles?
No, not particularly, but then Judi Dench is always good. I mean, this is Judi Dench kind of like, it's almost like she's playing Angela Lansbury in the original Manchurian Candidate. I mean, it's not one of the things that I think she's ever going to be really recognized for her tremendous performance in this. It's fine, but it's not, you know. I think DiCaprio is somewhere on the far side of fine. I think he is actually excellent. Armie Hammer, I think, would be excellent if the makeup didn't let him down. But the makeup is just distractingly bad on him.
You gave this film a 4.5 out of 5 stars, is that correct?
4.5 out of 5, and it lost the fifth star being whole for that damned, tinkly, decorative piano musical score and the makeup.
Would you still call this a must-see film, or is this sort of a...
Oh, yeah, I would definitely say you should see the film, especially if you don't generally like Clint Eastwood movies, because the fact that I really like this and I don't normally care for Eastwood movies, sometimes I respect them, but I very rarely actually like them. This one I can actually see myself buying.
Another film that came out this week that I think it was sort of the opposite. It was a film that you actually had high hopes for, Justin.
Talking about Immortals?
I am talking about Immortals.
I don't know if I'd say I had high hopes for... I'd say I wanted to have high hopes. I had high hopes I would have high hopes for it. Because it looks... The trailer's just... So goofy.
The trailers could not excite me.
But you were hoping it was going to be sort of an over-the-top, like a better version of 300 or a better version
well, I
of...
hated 300, I think. Ken and I...
Not as much as I did.
No, but... I did not care for 300.
Speaking of homophobic, yeah.
Yeah. Nevertheless, this is like a completely not. This is. Well, I've said this before. It's like they made a gayer 300. They finally just realized they needed to just go for it because it is very. And I don't mean that in any sort of
derogatory.
No. It's costume design, very elegant, but then there's also. And that's the stuff that's interesting to me as a film, the way it's... There's genuine parts of this movie where it's brilliant filmmaking, and the entire look of it is very interesting, and the way it's put together...
Well, the costume design looks like a leather bar from... A really high-end leather bar from what I've
A lot
seen.
Of it. And they even make fun of how these people are dressed at points, but... It's just like, this is the first time I feel like I've watched a movie and felt too old to be watching this.
In your print review, you actually said that you were, you know, a champion for the Wachowski brothers, Speed Racer, and sort of
like... I like stuff that's ridiculous and over the top. This is ridiculous and over the top, but it's so, like, overbearingly so. Like, it's not fun, I think, is the biggest part. It's just... It points towards the end where it's just unrelenting, just like...
Are you saying Speed Racer was ridiculous?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In a good way. This is just like, look how gory and bloody and badass we can be, which is fine, but it's just, there's no point to it. Like,
and give me a little bit of context for the film, because for those people who haven't heard of it.
Well, it's basically a telling of the myth of Theseus, but from what I understand about Theseus, there's only really maybe one... scene, which is where he fights the Minotaur, which is actually just a guy in a barbed wire bull mask, which
I guess I saw the 1960s Italian movie and it was a real monster. Saw this.
No, I kind of see the thing is that they made this fantastic movie with these gods will come down from the heavens and all of this ridiculous stuff, but they can't have a monster. And I get it fits into the theme of the movie about a lot of it's about how these people don't believe in the gods, and but yet the gods won't interfere because they want people to have free will. But I would rather have a monster.
Sounds more like some sort of Baptist doctrine to me. But
I guess a bit. I mean, it looks really neat, but there's nothing to it. Like, and it's incredibly gory, which I don't have an issue with, but it's just sort of like silly after a while when we get to the end and all these people are being slaughtered in slow motion and blood spurting everywhere. And
you gave it a relatively high review, but it doesn't sound like you're particularly recommending it.
I want to like it more than I do, and I'm giving it a high review because, or 3 stars, which is in the middle, I guess.
3 stars to me is not a high review.
Right.
You got to hit 3.5 before I think it's even slightly recommended.
It's 3 stars of interesting. And anybody who's a fan of Tarsem Singh, or Tarsem Singh, he's got a different name. It's on the credits, he has an extra name now.
Well, I think it's and always been Tarsem Singh, but I think he's just called himself Tarsem on the fall.
Right. But now he's got 3 names.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's grown another name? Astonishing.
It's interesting in the way it's made, and there's genuine bits of, like, really brilliant filmmaking, but as a whole movie, it's just...
And maybe Tarsem Singh, whatever, will take the money he got from this and make another fall.
Or maybe they'll make him do a sequel to this. Who knows? But no, I was like, I got out of it, and I was like, I just feel old and overwhelmed, and I did not have fun watching this. There's a good chunk of, like, sexually confused 20-year-old boys that'll love this movie, I'm sure.
So you wanted to like a film that was self-indulgent, and you wanted to see a film that was going to be self-indulgent and strange, and you didn't get one, but it sounds like Ken did. It sounds like you got a film that is, in fact,
self-indulgent. Well, I could have went and watched it.
You could have gone to watch it, but you'd had to get out of bed.
And of course, I'm talking about the new Pedro Almodovar film, The Skin I Live In, or just Skin I Live In?
The Skin I Live In, yes. It's not going to be to everybody's taste. It's an Almodovar picture. Right away, you should know it's not going to be to everybody's taste. I do not think that it will get me banned from any place for giving it a 5-star review, unlike Bad Education, which is why I can no longer go to Hendersonville.
They'll ban you from Fletcher.
I suspect I could bear up under that, too.
I don't think anybody from Fletcher is going to the fine arts.
No, probably.
Nobody from Hendersonville is going to. They're more likely to come here, I would say. It's closer.
Yeah, but we don't have this film.
I know. So I think you're safe.
So, yeah, possibly so.
Maybe someone from Woodfin.
It's very hard to discuss this film without giving away the plot. And to give away the plot would do the film a major disservice. What you know going in is that Antonio Banderas, in his first Almodovar picture since 1990, is a brilliant plastic surgeon / mad scientist who has this woman imprisoned in his house on whom he is experimenting to create a synthetic skin. That is at least what you think is going on. That's not exactly what's going on. And that's what I won't tell you, because finding out how twisted and labyrinthian this plot line is part of the joy of watching this movie. It is, however, a friend of mine objected to it. Well, I'll name names in this case. It's the writer, director, the creator of Chucky, Don Mancini, did not like it. It is the first time that he has ever really just, no, I'm not going with this one, because he found its use of rape as a plot point to be offensive. I didn't point out to him that there's actually 2 rapes in the film if you count a date rape.
It sounded, from reading your review, it sounded very much like a typical Almodovar film in that there's this sort of soap opera quality, a larger than life quality, and strange, and also a refusal to judge the characters.
Oh, yeah, there's no judging of the characters. They are who they are, and they do what they do because they are who they are, and that's it. The biggest thing that I found strange about it, or different about it, was the fact that it didn't really strike me as having much emotional impact until the very final scene. And that's why I'd like to see the film again, because I wonder if it would not have more emotional impact on me knowing where it's going.